sometimes I don't feel sure about the existence of Krishna itself. So then praying to him and trying to have faith that eventually my question will be answered by Krishna if he so desires, having that kind of faith becomes difficult. And sometimes I feel that maybe some intellectual surveys which is related with understanding analytically the existence of Krishna, existence of God, that will help me in going on in my bhakti. So will it help me, and how should I deal with this situation? Answer: all of us have to take an inventory of what gives us faith, and we need to do those things just regularly. So now, what may give us faith will vary from person to person. And if you are practicing, you have been practicing bhakti for a few years, there has to be some logical reasons which made you practice bhakti. There has been some emotional reasons that made you practice bhakti. And there are some personal spiritual experiences which you have got, which have enabled you to go on. So the whole process of bhakti means to make our memory our treasury. To make our memory our treasury. So that means whatever philosophically convincing points that you have found till now, whatever spiritual experiences you have got, these you need to have as a ready resource, written down in some pocket diary or in a phone or somewhere, and we can reflect on those points regularly and expand those points. So sometimes when devotees are new to Krishna consciousness, there are faith and doubt sessions where it is asked what gives you faith and what causes you doubt. And then sometimes the senior devotees address the question about how to resolve that which causes doubt. So now this is something which we can do periodically in our spiritual lives for ourselves. And because in our case, sometimes it may well happen that what causes us doubt that keeps popping periodically in our mind, whereas what gives us faith goes into the background and is no longer even in our consciousness. Although we will also have adequate, if not abundant, reasons for having faith. So yes, there can be moments in a devotee's life when one may even doubt the existence of Krishna. That's the nature of doubts. To what extent doubts can go, sadhaka's life we can't say. Different people can have different levels of doubts, different degrees of doubts. So rather than obsessing over a particular doubt that one has, we can focus on, instead on making a list of what gives us faith and building on those points. So if a particular thing gives us faith, we note it down, reflect on it, maybe expand on it, and in that way, from that we get faith. So in the process of bhakti, there will be some things which give us faith, there will be some things which challenge our faith, and there is going to be a battle between these two. So the things which give us faith, they need to be strengthened. If in leadership guidance they say that be conscious of your weaknesses, but focus on your strengths. Now, if somebody is constantly thinking, oh, I can't do this, I can't do this, I can't do this. Say, if a batsman is there and the batsman thinks, the batsman is a part-time bowler and the bowler thinks, oh, I can't bowl so well, I can't bowl so well, I can't bowl so well. Well, you are in the team as a batsman, so focus on batting. And if you bat well, then whether you are able to bowl well or not, even if you're not able to bowl well, that won't matter so much. But if the batsman is, even while batting, thinking, I can't bowl well, and the batsman will not be able to bat well also. And then overall the performance will drop, and then the player will also be dropped from the team. So we now, because of our anarthas, our weaknesses, our doubts, they may pop up periodically or even regularly in our consciousness. But we need to consciously remember our, cultivate our strengths, remember and cultivate our strengths and ensure that they grow. So whatever it is that gives us faith individually, we need to focus on that and bring that to the fore and take ourselves forward. Now, if there is a doubt about, if there are some questions about the existence of God, then we have to find whether there are some rational arguments which strengthen our faith in the existence of God. Now, there are definitely some philosophical arguments which do strongly point towards the existence of God. And they say about such arguments that the arguments about the existence of God, they will be convincing for those, for some people, and they will be unconvincing for some people. So of course sometimes it is said that a believer needs no argument and a non-believer accepts no arguments. So that's an extreme statement, but it illustrates the point that arguments have utility for some people and arguments don't have utility for some people. So usually for intellectuals practicing bhakti, arguments do play an important role. But again, it is not that every argument will be equally persuasive for us. So some argument which might seem as sufficient or even decisive for someone else, that argument may not seem all that convincing for us. So then it won't be an option for us. If we need an intellectual basis for our faith, and if we find such an intellectual basis is not there, then acquiring that intellectual basis is not an option, it is a necessity. So reading the books of theistic scientists or scientific philosophers, scientific spiritualists, or in general books on philosophy which talk from a theistic perspective about the existence of God. So reading such books, understanding the arguments, that will definitely boost our faith. In some cases, if we in an immature way expose ourselves, in a not immature or unprepared way, we expose ourselves to anti-devotional arguments, anti-theistic arguments, the arguments advanced by atheists, and because we are on the intellectual platform and the intellect, the logic or reasoning is also a skill. So atheists may have practiced the skill of reasoning for their whole life, and we have been just learning to practice the skill. So sometimes atheistic arguments may, if we in an unprepared way expose ourselves to atheistic arguments, we may feel as if the whole intellectual basis for our faith is unsound. But rather than arriving at a judgment like that, we need to also look at the arguments of theistic philosophers which counter them. So in general, just like a soldier who is fighting a war. Now if the soldier is fighting, the soldier doesn't suddenly go right into the middle of the enemy camp and try to fight single-handedly over there. Even when the soldier wants to fight, the soldier fights under the guidance of the soldier fights with other soldiers under the guidance of some trained leader. So similarly, when we are fighting intellectually, so if we suddenly place ourselves among atheists, then we will be slaughtered. But if so, the intellectual war is not a war that everyone needs to fight. But if we feel the need to fight it, and we feel that without that our spiritual life is unsteady, unfulfilling, then we can fight the war. But we shouldn't think it a cowardice that we should, that we shouldn't think that fighting the spiritual war means directly exposing ourselves to doubts about the existence of God as propagated by atheists. Just as fighting a war doesn't mean going right in the middle of the enemy's camp. Fighting the war also means acquiring training and fighting within a team under the guidance of a competent leader. So that would mean for us, initially we read the books of devotee scientists, we read the books of devotee philosophers who have talked about the existence of God. And then after that we can read some arguments given by theistic philosophers, theistic scientists in general, even if they are not directly bhakti yoga practitioners or teachers. And that way we can strengthen ourselves intellectually. And there are substantial arguments for intellectually boosting our faith on various issues, including the issue of the existence of God.